Earth and Sky.
Because a lot of people think that, oh, chronic disorder, you know, children or, you know, bullies, they don't share emotions. They don't even see that people, you know, have negative emotion. They don't see that people are crying. They don't feel that people are in pain. But they do. In fact, they do.
You're listening to brain researcher Jean DeCetti. I'm Jorge Salazar, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. DeCetti is professor of psychology and psychiatry at the University of Chicago and co-director of its Brain Research Imaging Center. He spoke more with me about using brain scans to reveal the neural activity expressed as pain or pleasure of people with a severe form of bullying, also called conduct disorder.
Tell us about your study that looked at how people show empathy.
So what we did was we had done, you know, a series of studies, including children, when children are in the scanner and they are watching people being in pain by accident or being in pain because they were hurt by other people. And what we found is that us and a lot of other laboratories, that when we perceive people in pain, we do activate in our brain the same network, which consists of the insular anterior cingulate cortex, medial prefrontal cortex, and periaqueal gray. That network is also involved in the what we call the first-hand experience of pain. If we were ourselves in pain, we will also activate the same regions. And when we watch people being in pain, we also activate. So there is a sort of somatosensory motor resonance between other and self when we see people in pain. And we believe this is a primary way that we can develop empathy for the other. Empathy in the sense of sharing their pain or sharing their joy if it's positive. And in some situation when we see people in pain, we may want to help other people because we don't like to see people in pain. It's a sort of aversive signal coming to the brain. When you see someone in pain, it's a sort of negative experience, and as a result maybe you want to help the person to be out of the pain because it's not pleasant for yourself. So that's what the first part of the study.
I guess what you're saying is that it's normal for people to activate areas in their brains that are similar to the areas in the brain of the person going through pain.
Exactly. And again, that's a very strong signal that tells you that someone is in distress and you want to stop and you want maybe to, you know, to show sympathy, or you want to help the person to be out of the pain. And now the next step we talk is to look at those of us, I mean, those individuals who have no empathy. And we know there are, you know, certain kind of population that lack empathy, such as psychopaths. And we are scanning psychopaths now in prisons in the U.S. And the second population I'm very much interested in, it's called conduct disorders. A conduct disorder, it's a psychiatric disorder, it's a developmental disorder, and those children usually have no empathy, they like to hurt people, they are bullies, they are sadistic, they like to hurt animals. So we did a second study looking at how children with conduct disorder will react when they see people in pain.
Now, did you say a conduct disorder? How is that different than the schoolyard bully?
Well, I guess it's pretty severe. So if you use the concept of conduct disorder, you have to have, you know, it's the DSM-4 in psychiatry. You have to have two or three out of, you know, different symptoms such as lack of empathy, enjoying hurting people or objects, destroying objects. So it's a little more complex. It's a more severe form of bullying. Bullies probably are chronic disorder, but not all of them.
Yeah, see, I was really hoping that you could tell me what is happening in the brain of a bully, or in the case of what you just described, people with conduct disorder, when they're inflicting pain on another, what is happening in their brains?
Well, so that's what we tried to do in the second study. So we had this group of adolescents with really, really aggressive conduct disorder, very aggressive form. They are antisocial, they are sadistic, and so on. So when they were watching people in pain in the scanner, like we did in the first study, we were kind of surprised that they did also activate the same network as the control group. They do activate their periaqueal gray, insular anterior cingulate cortex, somatosensory cortex, even to a larger extent than the control group. And that was kind of a surprise, because a lot of people think that in the literature that, oh, conduct disorder, you know, children or, you know, bullies, they don't share emotions. They don't even see that people, you know, have negative emotion. They don't see that people are crying. They don't feel that people are in pain. But they do. In fact, they do. What we found is that not only they do activate this what's so-called pain matrix, this network of region for pain, but in addition to that, and only in this group of carded disorder, they also activate the amygdala and the ventral striatum. And here it's more interesting. It's as if, because of these two regions working together, when they were watching pain, people in pain, instead of looking at this signal as a sort of aversive signal, they were enjoying. It's a sort of pleasure. So they watch pain and they use that as a source of pleasure for the self. That was the big discovery in that study, to show that, well, you know, not only they are not blunted about the emotion of other, but they use this negative, well, they process these negative emotions in a positive way that you won't do. If you see someone in pain, it's sort of, again, aversive signal. It's unpleasant, it's negative. And for the bullies, apparently, it's not pleasant. It's not unpleasant. It's really pleasant. It's positive. It's even rewarding.
What's the most important thing that you'd like the public to know today about empathy and the human brain?
Well, the most important thing for me is that we are born. I think we are born with this great capacity for empathy. And empathy, it's very simple. It's this capacity that we have by which we can share emotions with others. It can be positive and negative emotion. It's part of human nature. And I think today we start to learn more about the neurological mechanism, which are quite simple. And where my research goes now is to look at more extreme aspect of empathy. There's a lot of inter-individual differences in empathy. You have the extreme people who are extremely sensitive to others, and that's not good, by the way. It's not adaptive to be too sensitive. And you have those who do not care at all. They don't even share emotion with others. So those two groups are at risk for us. And so I think we have a good knowledge today about the neural circuits that are involved in empathy. And I think what's next we have to look at, and that's what I'm doing in my lab, to look at what are the mechanisms by which we can regulate this capacity for empathy.
You've been listening to John DeSetti, a professor in psychology and psychiatry at the University of Chicago and co-director of its Brain Research Imaging Center. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.